Joy.
I just love
you. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm doing good.
Can't complain. What is it? Should I open up first and then go to the song?
Who am okay. I that the highest king?
You tell me when you're ready.
Testing.
Can you hear me?
I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his life for me. Oh, his life for me. Who the sun sets free. Who is free.
Good evening, saints.
I'm a child.
It is time to worship the Lord. This is Bible study here at Church of the King. For those of you that are streaming live, worship with us as we go before the King.
Yeah!
high priest anymore, that we can just usher right into his presence. Aren't you glad that we serve a risen Savior? Aren't you glad that he is before us and not against us? Amen? Thank you. He has a presence, his presence we can enter into, that he's ready for us to come in and dwell with him. Guys, I'm excited to be able to be in the house of the Lord. COVID-19 tried to stop us, tried to shut our voices, but we refuse to shut up. We refuse to not speak what thus saith the Lord. Amen? All right, so we've got Facebook here. Good evening, Facebook. Thank you for being with us. We are live streaming on the Church of the King's website. Are we good, Terry? Do we have any issues? All right. God will take care. We do have issues, don't we, Mike? Amen. And it is great when we are dwelling together that we're able to come to Bible study together. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So tonight we are going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit, okay? We're in Galatians 5. Now, before we do that, we always ask the Lord to enter in and bless his word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, O God. We thank you for your presence in this place tonight. We thank you, God, for your mercy, your grace, your loving kindness. We thank you, Lord, that your word is still true today, the same as it was yesterday, God. And Father, right now, we just ask that you anoint my lips, that I speak only what you have to say, O God. Open up our eyes and ears of understanding that we may be able to see and hear what it is that you're saying to your people. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Woo, I'm happy tonight. I'm happy tonight. So to do Bible study, you might just see me standing up and getting a little excited. In his presence, Mike. In his presence. To be in his presence. We're not just looking for his presence, the things he can give us, but we get into his presence and dwell in his presence and let him love on us. Let him stroke us. Let him... See, all right. That's right, Mike. That's right. Amen. Amen. All right. So, fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which means patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, my, there is no law. My, there is nothing that holds us captive when we operate in these things here, okay? So, a few weeks ago, do you remember we were studying Galatians 5, but we were back in 19. And back in 19, it talks about the lifestyles that if we so choose to live, unfortunately, we won't be able to inherit the kingdom of God. We're looking at things of sexual immorality. We're looking at things as envy, drunkenness. We're looking at things as selfish ambitions. We're looking at jealousy. We're looking at discord. And there's a number of things that Galatians... Say that, Mike.
I said it in my own
mind. You all right now? So, that's right. That's right. So, some things, certain lifestyles that we live, we know by the word of God that we will not inherit the kingdom of God. But for those that may not understand what the kingdom of God is, what is the kingdom of God? You and I know that's heaven, right? That is the place that our king dwells. That spirit realm where he is on his throne. Amen? It is a place where there's no more sickness, no more disease, no more sadness. It is a place that's eternal. So if there's a place that's like that and we won't inherit the kingdom, what's the opposite? That would be hell. So those that operate according to sexual immorality and all of those things, they inherit hell. What is hell? It's got to be the opposite of what heaven is. So there will be sickness there. There will be sadness there. There will be diseases there. There will be torment there. And that is a place eternal as well. So forever and ever, torment. Is that a place we want to go? Is that a place that sounds enticing? No. So let's look at, okay, we've all been there. We've all been out here in the world living the world's ways. None of us are perfect. God knows I'm far from being perfect. But if we take the average lifespan of a human, say is 80 years, and let's compare that to eternity, that's nothing, isn't it? That's quick, isn't it, Jackie? So to be able to sacrifice some things on the earth because our flesh wants to do some of these immoral things, doesn't it? Feels good to the flesh, but we don't live by the flesh, do we? So spending 80 years sacrificing this flesh, comparing it to eternal, doesn't seem like a big sacrifice to make, does it? Amen? But we have to be focused on that, right? We can't live in the present. We have to live eternal. So many people out in the world think we Christians are condemning people and judging them. It's not that we're judging you. We know the damnation that's coming. We know that there's an eternal place, a heaven to gain or a hell to shun, and we don't want you to go there. You're our brothers and sisters. We don't want you to go there. And so we don't want you to take on that eternal damnation. So we're not judging. We're loving. And we want to love you into the kingdom of God. Do what? Yes. Yep, that's right. All right, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. And if you're taking notes and want to just look at these and study these later, by all means, please. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. Charles David, I would say if you had a Bible like mine, but I don't. I must not be on the good list. All right. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that means you and I have a spirit and a soul and body. Amen. Are we not made in the image and the likeness of God?
Yes.
Genesis 1 and 27 says that, correct?
Yes.
So, we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. So if God reigns in that spirit realm, don't you think we have to communicate with him in the spirit realm? With our spirit man? Is that how we commune with God? We don't commune with him orally. We commune with him in that spirit realm, right? When we're on our knees in prayer. When we shut out the world, we go into our prayer closet so we can hear what thus saith the Lord is saying to us. I know we get clowned a lot, we Christians, and saying, oh, God's talking to them. Yes, he does. He talks to us. And he wants to commune with us if we'll take the time to stop. And listen, I'm talking to Katrina. I'm not even talking to any of you. I'm talking to Katrina. Because Katrina is all about getting things done. That's my makeup. I'm busy doing things, working with my hands, preparing things. And it is a chore for me to stop, to quit moving. My husband said, would you please sit down? It's just not in my nature to sit down and relax, prop my feet up. I'd rather be working. I'd rather be doing something. But Katrina has to sacrifice her flesh and get into the presence of the Lord, shut out the noise. Well, let's add on top of that. I bet if if they were diagnosing, and they may have, my parents just didn't know it. And I'm not claiming this, so don't take it like that. I bet I would have been diagnosed with ADD, because I'm... My mom used to say, do you have ants in your pants? Would you sit down? I bet I'm OCD. Because if you go into my closet, you're going to see all my pants right here, and then they're color coordinated. Yes. There's my shirts, and they're color coordinated. Yes. There's all my shoes, and they're color coordinated. Everything has its order. Do what? Well, I come to your house? All right, Charles David, I got you. All right, let's get back to the word. So we were saying if God reigns in the spirit realm, we must tap into our spirit being in order to communicate with him. So the Bible says in John 4:24, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, Christians are worshipers, right? He's talking to us. Those of us that have said Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, rose again, sits on the right-hand side of the Father, right? He's talking to us. So, to worship is to express honor to God. Amen. Through respect, through reverence, and through devotion. Amen. So, respect... Are we going to respect his commands and his statutes? Amen. Are we going to reverence who he is? Amen. Who is he? Is he omnipresent? He's everywhere. Is he omnipowerful, Aunt Dyke? That's exactly right. Is he omnipotent? Yes, he is. He's everything, isn't he? And he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be worshipped. Amen? Amen. Devotion. Are we going to devote ourselves to advancing the kingdom of heaven? Are we going to devote ourselves to telling others about him? We just talked about, we don't want people to go to hell. We don't want them to be in eternal damnation. Are we going to hide our little secret here in Church of the King behind closed doors and then take it home? No, it is for us to take and share it with our loved ones, share it with our family, share it with our coworkers, because we've already experienced what it is to be in his presence. We've already experienced what it is to be set free of something. We've already experienced what it's like to experience his peace that surpasses all understanding. We know it. We've experienced it. And now it's for us to be able to share it with other people. Amen? Having a boldness not to go out in condemnation and judging people to hell, but we want to love them into the kingdom of God. So, it said that we worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay? So, spirit, to worship him from our hearts, to worship him from sincere motives. Do you know how many years I just came to church? And that was the extent of my Christianity. Walked in the door, let the preacher talk, and I walked right back out. For no change. That's exactly right, Mike. No change in my life. So I'm hearing all these scriptures that, you know, God has his peace. There's joy, unconditional love. But Katrina wasn't experiencing them. Why? Because my heart wasn't in it. I was going out of a religious duty. And how many times can we get into a religious routine that we just go to church? Oh, we get into our routine of things, but there's never really any change in the heart. Amen? Then we wonder why life is so tore up at home, why life is so tore up on the job, why we have all these issues that come against us, because we're not equipped with this word and know that when something come against us, God's already raised up a standard. Amen? Amen? So, okay, a religious act. I gave to the poor, Mike. Charles David, I paid my tithes. I come to church every Sunday. Aren't those good things, Jackie?
Oh, yeah.
They're wonderful things. Are we supposed to do those things?
Oh, yeah.
But what's my motive when I do them? Katrina had bad motives. Katrina was doing things religiously and not for the kingdom. Not because I loved him. I knew about him. Aunt Dyke, we were taught about him when we were little, weren't we? But did we understand having a true relationship with him?
No.
No. There's where I lost it. Just doing our religious duty. Though all good acts, but what's our motive when we do these things? Are we walking around with our Bible so that we look all holy in front of people? That ain't nothing. That's just ink on paper. What is it when we get in his presence? There's true power, right? When we get in his word and understand, and he reveals things to you. That's good stuff, isn't it, Jackie? Honey, forget those Harlequin books. Just pull out the Bible. There's some stories right there. Let's not forget about the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. If we worship him in spirit. And so, what about the Holy Spirit that dwells in us? We the Christians. John 14:26. If you're taking notes, John 14:26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you what? All things. All things. So he's left the Holy Spirit back here for us to dwell inside of us that helps us to commune with our Heavenly Father. We must worship the Father with pure motives, a sincere heart, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Man, I missed the mark many times there. I wouldn't allow the Holy Spirit to lead me. Because sometimes, all the time, let's just be honest, he leads us somewhere that we don't want to go. Leads us down a path that I have to forgive. I don't want to forgive. I'm mad. Leads us down a path that I have to say, I'm sorry, Jackie. I don't want to do that. Come on. Tony should know I'm right all the time. I shouldn't have to apologize to him. He should know that already. Are we perfect? What's a just man do? How many times?
Seven
times. But what's he do? He gets back up. He gets back up. He doesn't stay down. All right. So if we worship him in spirit, and what's the other one? Truth. We worship him in spirit and in truth. In today's society, truth is what? Whatever I want it to be. Right? Jackie may think it's okay to do X, Y, and Z, and Katrina doesn't. But it's okay. Oh, just do whatever makes you feel good, Mike. That's the way the world is now, right? So. That's exactly right. They are teaching that. That's exactly right. And that common core that they have in school teaches you to reason things. Well, I'm all about reasoning out a situation, but there's still the truth. And 1 and 1 equals 2. And it doesn't change. But if you don't know the Word of God, then it's easy to get caught up in additional teachings, correct? So we have to have that core that we got to go back to. And America was created on Judeo-Christian beliefs. And that is the core of what America is. Now, do we have some shortcomings? You better believe it. We have a whole lot of shortcomings in America. But that core remains there. And that core is what keeps everything together. But our society is trying to pluck out the core of who we are as a nation. So Proverbs 3:7. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Yes. Do not do what's right in Katrina's eyes. Depart from. Yeah. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Yeah. Fear the Lord. Oh, I'm scared of him. No. We talk about it all the time in here. To be in awe of him. To respect his commands. To respect his statute. To respect his biblical truths. Exodus 20 is talking about the Ten Commandments. Okay, Exodus 20. So, if to fear the Lord is to acknowledge God's ways, acknowledge His commandments, and acknowledge biblical truths, we know that His commandments, right here written out in Exodus 20, simple. The Ten Commandments. We was all raised with that from as a child. Even if you weren't raised in the house, you knew what the Ten Commandments were. Amen? So, we have no other gods before Him. We don't worship other things, correct? In school, absolutely, Mike. That's exactly right. And that's what's coming to fruition right now. A generation of kids that have not had that. And they don't know what to stand on. But look, we Christians have to be careful that we don't sit up here all haughty on our little throne judging people for something they don't even know. But we have to have a boldness in love to walk to them and be able to spend some time with them and tell them truth. Amen? Amen. It's got to be done in love. We've been hurt too much in the church. We got to do it in love.
Show our children.
That's right.
Once they get their mindset in other words,
yes. 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 Got to teach them early, right? Teach them early. All right, so the Ten Commandments. This one thing jumped out at me, and I think I read over it all the time because in our society now, we just take the Ten Commandments and we write it in the short version, right? But we don't write the entire scripture out. So here's something that jumped out at me that I thought, wait a minute, let me see that. So no other gods before me. And here, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. Okay, this is verse 5, Exodus 20 and 5. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. We've heard that countless times. But listen, punishing the children for their sin of the parents. Oh, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the what? Third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Okay? For those that hate me. But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. We talked about this a few weeks ago, that umbrella of protection. Why it's so important that you and I, you know this word and live by this and teach our children, because that puts a protection around them and their children's children. Amen? So this thing ain't just about us. This thing is about our future. Amen? It says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And I know there's many different definitions of that, of how we misuse God's name. But one of the things that come to my mind right now is when we use that GD word. Guys, I cringe. I can't even sit down in my house anymore and watch a movie, a simple movie on regular television, without them defaming the God that I serve. No respect for our Heavenly Father anymore. I can't even, look, I just turned on Hallmark and leave it be, because I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that nasty. Absolutely. And you know, my husband said, the other day, he's thumbing through like Netflix or Hulu or whatever all those apps are on those smart TVs. And he said, Katrina, look, violence, 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 porn, violence, violence. There was nothing on there that you and I would want to sit down and watch with our family. And I said, how sad is that, that we've become a society that desire that kind of entertainment? Yeah. Yes, yes. And we don't understand why we have mass murders. Yeah, yes. It's not getting in the mind. All right. So we got to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Praise God for Pastor Butch.
Amen.
For doing the Sabbath. The Shabbat services. Teaching us the importance of it and how we should keep it. And kudos to Deb Workman for the bread that she fixed on last Fridays, because was that not divine, Jackie? Absolutely, absolutely. Honor your parents. We've talked about this is the one commandment that has what?
A blessing
to it. Honor your parents so that you may live long, correct?
Amen.
May live long on the land. Let's not murder physically or somebody's reputation, right?
Amen.
We can murder somebody's reputation easy. We commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, don't covet. Oh man, when somebody gets that brand new car, I want one too. Then I get in debt, right? And I shouldn't have bought that car, Charles David. Did it for the wrong reason, right? Now I can't afford it. We get ourselves in trouble when we covet. Amen? And I know we're being silly right now. All right. So biblical truths. We worship him. We honor his commandments that we just talked about. Now these biblical truths. The fruit of the Spirit. Now we're here at our... Do what? Back in Galatians. Where we started. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's forbearance, which is patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such there is no law. Okay, so let's look at love. Love. That's the first one, Charles David. Love. 1 John 4 and 8. Let's prove this. Whoever does not love does not know God. For what? For God is love. He is love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5 says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Ladies, how many times will we tell our husbands, well, I know what you did, 24 years ago. That's right, on Saturday night. That's right. We'll bring that up quickly, won't we? Y'all do it too. Y'all do it too. Y'all do it too. So guys, we make mistakes. We fall down. But we said earlier, a just man gets back up. He doesn't stay down. Amen? So when we do make a mistake, we repent and we ask for forgiveness. Right, Mike? Mike up here preaching right along with me, aren't you? That's it. So, we got to forgive, guys. We all make mistakes. Don't hold people to a higher standard. Because if we're going to make mistakes, they make mistakes as well. We got to be willing to forgive. Okay, joy. Joy. Unspeakable joy. All right, John 15, 10 through 12, if you're taking notes. And it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. What? Is love or is our joy connected to love? In order to get joy, do we have to love others? So we can't hide love and still expect to get joy? What? I don't like people. People get on my nerves, Mike. Right? Haven't you heard that? But that's not the word, is it? It's not the word. Not being self-centered and only worry about what we can get. Read the red letters. That's a good one, Charles David. Read the red letters. That's when Jesus is speaking. Leaps off the page, doesn't it? All right. So our joy is directly related to how we love others. And we can have an unspeakable joy, something that you can't explain. When you're loving others, God can give you a joy that you can't even explain. So our joy is connected to the way we love other people. 1 Peter 1, 8 through 9. It says, though you have not seen him, though we haven't seen who? Jesus? All right, Charles David. You love him. Do you love him? We haven't seen him. Back when he was alive, and those people that followed him, they saw his miracles. They saw what he did, correct? We haven't. But listen what it says. There you go. And have seen, not seen, right? Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So the end result of our faith, the end result of me being faithful, the end result of me believing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, the end result believing that he died and that he arose again and that he sits in heaven on the right hand side of the Father is joy. Unexplainable joy. What about peace? We got love, we got joy, and we got peace. And we have 19 minutes. Philippians 4 and 7, as we talk about peace. And the peace of God, which transcends, it goes beyond the boundaries. Yes. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. His peace will guard your heart. Yes. It'll reach out beyond the boundaries of what we've set up. What is our understanding? We don't always understand what's going on. I don't understand what God's doing in my life right now. You may not understand what's going on in your life right now. We don't understand why COVID-19 is taking place. We might not understand. There's certain things we just don't understand in life. But do we have faith that God's going to walk with us? Do we have faith? Has he proven himself to us countless times that this is not going to be any different? That he's still walking with us? He's still going to see us through? We're still able to experience his joy as we're going through it. We should be. We don't have the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, right? Isaiah 55 and 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So we want him to do things the way we think it should be done, Charles David. He should be coming at my time when I want him to. Does he always show up on time, Lori?
Always
on time. Does he show up when we want him to?
Never.
Maybe not so much, right? But it's the process that we have to go through. And there's a purging process that we have to go through because we're constantly growing. Amen? We're talking about how we have the different seasons, right? Summer, fall, winter, spring. And each one, something happens. And remember, Pastor Butch always talks about we have secular cycles, not linear. 1700, 1800, 1900, and it keeps going. But things go around and around. So you're going to be on the mountain at certain times, and you're going to be in the valley at certain times. But it's because he wants us to grow. He wants us to expand. He wants us to get better. He wants us to be more mature in him. He wants us to grow as Christians. Amen? What about forbearance? Patience. Woo! Patience. You mean I have to have patience, Mike, when I'm on US 52 and I'm trying to get to the mall and I've only got so many minutes to get there and driving Miss Daisy's in front of me and taking a Sunday drive? I've got to have patience. What? Or when I'm in the grocery store and I'm trying to get out, and the woman, I've got one item, and the woman in front of me has 500, and I've got to stand there and wait patiently. What?
I love God for me.
See, you're just too precious. Proverbs 15:18. Proverbs 15:18. Hot tempers cause arguments, but patience brings peace. Peace. Hot tempers cause arguments, but patience brings peace. You don't know what somebody's going through at home. And if we're always all haughty and ready to argue because they're not moving as fast as we think they should be moving, or whatever the situation may be, we don't know what people are going through. And when we are secure in ourselves and we know who we are in Christ Jesus, it is so much easier to be patient with other people. Because you already know who you are. What they're doing it doesn't affect you. Does that make sense? So many times we usurp our own authority and allow others to offend us. And we don't have to. When we know who we are in Christ Jesus, we learn to be patient with others. Not everybody's running the same race at the same speed. And we got to be patient with our brothers and sisters. All right. But look here. It says, hot tempers cause arguments, but patience brings peace. So patience and peace are directly connected. The same way joy and love is directly connected. In order to get peace, we must bring self-control under subjection. Woo! Katrina's flesh likes to do what Katrina's flesh wants to do. Especially if you sit that Colgrove Giovanni's pizza in front of me. You want me to exercise control. Control went out the door, Aunt Dyke. We must be patient and allow God to have his perfect work in us. If we abort the mission too soon, if you take the cake out of the oven too soon, what happens? It falls. It's no good. So you have to go through the baking process in order for God to get you to your next level in him. But it only comes when we're operating in patience. We've got to allow him to do his complete work in us and not abort his mission. James 1:24. Consider it pure joy. Whoa, pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. He's trying to get us to a place where we're lacking nothing. That we're so mature in him that when the enemy comes in, we already know how to handle it. That we don't have to run and cry. We don't have to head to the corner. We don't have to get frustrated. We don't have to walk out. We don't have to do this stuff. We already know. We have our weapons of warfare already prepared. So when the enemy comes in, we've already suited up and know how to handle the situation. Amen? What about kindness? Proverbs 21 and 21 says, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness and honor. When we seek after kindness, simple kindness. How hard is it to be kind to people? Don't forget, what you put in, you're going to get in return. So that's going to take us to Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So, Mike, if you sow an apple seed, are you going to get a watermelon? You're not, are you? You're going to get a what? You're going to get an apple. Hopefully. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Remember, this isn't about this earthly realm. Our lives is about the eternal. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Life sometimes is not fair. It is not fair. But you can take the world's fairness and give me God's favor any day of the week. Amen? I don't understand what I'm going through right now, but I trust Him enough that I know that He has taken me somewhere. He's been too faithful to me to give up on me now. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, not just this group, not just to those that, you know, we kind of like, but to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers, you and I, showing kindness to one another. What about goodness? Psalms 34 and 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Blessed is the man who talks refuge, or who takes refuge in Him. Nahum 1 and 7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in Him. So goodness, like kindness, is an action. Galatians 6 and 10 says, so then we have opportunity. Let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the same household of faith. Doing good to all mankind. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. It's an adjective. It means loyal. It means steadfast. It means firm. It means trustworthy. Saints, are we loyal? Our reputation is everything out in the world. We're representing Him. Are we steadfast? Are we firm? Are we trustworthy when people see us? When we reference God, Psalms 91 and 4 says, He, God, will cover you with His wing. Look, I can just get to the first part and get excited. To think of Him wrapping that arm around me. And under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. His faithfulness, when He puts that around us, no matter what the enemy comes at with us, throws that dart, throws that situation, He's got that wrapped right here and protecting us through that situation. Amen? When we reference our faithfulness to others, 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, now it is required of stewards. Are we stewards? Oh, yeah. Yes, we are. That we be found faithful, that we're loyal, that we're steadfast, and that we're trustworthy. What about gentleness? Man, I'm telling you, In today's society, it seems like everybody's got to be so hard and everybody's got to be so tough. And you watch these movies and, men, why is it that you guys have to be so hostile? Yes. That's right. That's right. All right. So gentleness is kind. It's tender. It's mild-mannered. We call them sissies now. That ain't what God is saying. He wants you to be kind. He wants you to be mild. Titus 3, 1 through 2. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities. Woo, we don't like that. We do not like to be subject. Don't even get me started on our government. Those two parties have lost their minds. So remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one. Wouldn't that be nice? I don't know what that is. To be peaceable and considerate. Can you be considerate of others above yourself? And always to be gentle towards everyone. Can we do that? Yes, absolutely. But it causes us to deal with this flesh. It means that we have to take a back seat to getting our wants. Amen? All right. Matthew 7 and 12 says, so in everything do unto others what you would have them do unto you. Woo! When somebody lies on you, Jackie, how easy it is to go and want to come back at them.
I know. Tell them the truth.
But the Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Hey, listen, God's going to fight our battles.
Yeah.
We don't have to. That's not our job. That's God's job. And what I can do to you, if me and Jackie got into it, I couldn't get to her the way God can get to her.
Right.
God's going to punish her differently than how I'm going to punish her, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He'll make it.
See, that's exactly right. He sure will. That's right. That's right, Jackie. All right, self-control. Self-control. Is that our last one? Yes. And I have 3 minutes. Self-control, Titus 2 and 12. God's grace teaches us to say no to godless ways and sinful longings. We must control ourselves to do what is right in the world we live in today. Woo! If you're trying to fit into the in crowd, you are out of luck. Because the in crowd is not doing what we're doing. We talked about last week or the week before, talking about being set apart. God's setting us apart. And we have to have a boldness to be able to stand when people are making fun of us. When people are, you know, laughing at us. But we have to know who He is and who we are in Him in order to go through. It's going to get worse.
Yes.
It's getting worse.
Yes.
Do you know who you are, Charles David?
Sure.
You know who you are in Him. That's right. That's right, Terry. All right. Galatians 5:19. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness. Those are godless ways.
Yes,
that's not the ways of us. That's not what we're to be partaking in. The final statement is this verse here. Against such, there is no law. There is nothing to hold us captive when we're operating in love, when we're operating in joy, when we have peace, when we're operating in kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to His power that works in us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. When we're operating according to the fruits of the Spirit, we're able to do the exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think, if we're willing to seek after that lifestyle. Nothing can hold us captive. Nothing can stop us from achieving what God has in store for us. Amen?
Amen.
Terry, look at that. 8 o'clock on the dot. Pastor Butch would be proud. Do what? All right, guys. That is Bible study. Is there any prayers needed here? Wilma, niece? Aaron? Tom? We need to pray for Tom?
Yep.
Is he doing better?
Tell him,
tell him we love him.
Yeah,
Miss Jean, Charles David, you've got surgery coming up?
I got surgery Monday morning.
Monday morning?
Hello.
Anybody else? Okay. Pastor Butch, we're going to pay for pray for Pastor Butch. Say that three times real fast. And Gracie. Okay. All right. So, for those of you watching via Facebook or live stream, Sunday school, 10:30, Church of the King here on 5th and Monroe. We've got morning worship at 11:30. We have Bible study Wednesdays at 7, and we have Shabbat classes on Friday at 7. So, please come join us. We have a wonderful time. We're learning God's ways. We're learning his laws. We're learning his attributes. So come enjoy with us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, our King. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for resting, ruling, and abiding with us in this house. Now, Father, I ask that we take this word, we make application, we pour it into our hearts, O God, that we water it, nourish it, that it may grow, that we may be able to advance your kingdom. Father, all the prayer requests that come forth, I ask, God, that you intervene. If there's any on Facebook that needs prayer, God, I'm asking that you would touch those that are sick, those that need a financial breakthrough, those that need marriages that are needing mended. I'm praying, God, that you bring families back together. Father, reveal your glory in the earth, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And let everybody say,
amen.
Amen. Goodbye, Facebook. Be blessed.